will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO. I'm Rob Artigo here once again, your host for this edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm an entrepreneur in California. It's wonderful to be back again, Ray.
Hey, Rob, good to be with you again.
Well, the other day I saw a story online about a restaurant outside of Portland that hasn't been able to staff the restaurant. So this owner, a woman, went to like this services convention, like a restaurant convention somewhere. I didn't say where. And then she leased a robot she saw that was on display there. The robot delivers food to the table. It looks like it sort of buses the food to the table. So there's a tray. It's rolling around like R2-D2, and it has a tray and then goes over to the table. And then the people reach over, grab their plates, and put the plates on the table. And so that's the robot. It has a name, and I couldn't find the story to tell you the name. I don't know, it's like Cookie or Nacho or some kind of thing like that. And so it rolls up, presents the food. They take the food off. Needless to say, this is way beyond, you know, we were talking the other day about paying at the kiosk and not talking to the person at the counter at all. So what do you think, Ray, the reaction was and has been to this robot at this restaurant?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read the article. So, as long as the robot was friendly, I guess it was came across okay. The robot, unless it lifts the tray up and or your meal up and puts it in front of you, you have to reach over and grab it. That's different than they're in a restaurant. They don't roll a tray up and then you reach over and grab off the tray. They actually will place the food in front of you. I'm not sure how it was received. Maybe it'll take some time because we've all been used to the restaurant actually putting the food in front of us. Of course, the fast food places, you walk up to the counter, pay your money, and you take the tray with you. So I don't know that there's a huge difference between that and a robot coming over and dumping it off on your table.
Well, according to the story, the reaction was mixed. You know, some people love it. Some people actually thought it was very interesting. Some people hated it because it takes jobs away, according to them. You know, but that's the rub, because in this particular story, the employer didn't have much of a choice because she couldn't afford the minimum wage in Oregon is pushing $15 an hour. And she's having a problem getting people to the jobs, to the job, because of a long commute time, about 30 minutes outside of Portland. And she also has a hard time paying the high minimum wage because of all the high food costs right now. Imagine inflation has really put a pinch on the food costs, and restaurateurs are trying to find alternatives. So this opened the door for her. And she actually had some people say, I'm not going back there because it's taking a job away from a person.
Well, you're going to find that. I mean, you're going to find that in every industry. You know, whenever there is an issue, people, you take a job away. Okay. So the buggy whip industry hated the horseless carriage, which was the car, because it took a lot of jobs away from people in the buggy whip industry or the buggy industry itself, or the horse industry. When the car came along, or when the railroad came, it knocked out the stagecoaches. Wherever there was railroad access, that was the way in which goods and services and transportation came to the various areas, was through the railroad. And they hated it because it took jobs away from the stagecoach drivers and the people that made stagecoaches. So anytime you have some automation, it is going to take a job away. You know, they're going to come up with ways to automatically build houses, you know, through robotics. I'm seeing tools coming out now that are highly robotic, that help the builder build a home. And I can conceive in the not too distant future that a home can be completely constructed by robotics, as opposed to having to use labor to do it. Now, anytime we get improvement like that, whether it be a car or train or medicine or you know, a restaurant or whatever, that is going to cause an issue. There's going to be displacement, but there are jobs available, will become available for people to build these robotics, to build these special devices that took away their prior job. So there's always the pros and the cons to robotics.
Well, let's take this thing as a whole. So let's go with robotics and AI. We did a podcast fairly recently about AI and covered some of this ground, but you know, you put those two together, robotics and AI, there's always more to cover in the area of AI, and you add in robotics and it becomes an even bigger deal because we're seeing crazy advancements in robotics. Do you think it's true that we are on the verge of the largest ever displacement of unskilled labor in the history of the planet?
I don't know. It's hard to say, Rob, because robotics is or automation. Let's not call it robotics. Let's call it automation. AI is artificial intelligence. That's what AI stands for. And, you know, that's been with us probably since Adam Smith, Division of Labor, you know, back in the 1700s. You know, that goes back, 300 or so years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, artificial intelligence has been with us probably, I'll say, from the beginning of time. Anytime we have something that can assist us in an artificial way, meaning, you know, without requiring human intervention, that's what really artificial intelligence is performing a function without human intervention. And so, you know, of course, with more and more technology, we're going to see more and more functions that will be adopted by machines that can do things without human intervention. So, you know, again, that like that robot that delivers your food from the kitchen to your table. But, you know, we have, how about the automated vacuum cleaner? I mean, I was at a store just last week, actually, and here this machine was coming down the aisle and it was vacuuming the floor. And I reached over to grab something off the shelf and it stopped. It just immediately stopped. It didn't try to go around me, it stopped. And then I put the item in my shopping basket and the machine kept going. It made a little funny sound so that, you know, like a little musical sound so that you knew it was coming. But that's the entire store now, at least the place I was shopping, the entire store is being done with robotics, with an automatic vacuum cleaner. And that obviously took away from somebody who did that by hand, you know, either vacuuming by hand or mopping the floor or whatever. This thing not only vacuums, it also mops the floor at the same time. It can clean up waste. You know, if somebody drops a bottle on the floor and it breaks and spills the contents onto the floor, this machine can go over and clean it up. You know, it has to be programmed by somebody or directed by somebody, but it will go over and do it. You don't need somebody to go physically with a you know, a broom and a basket or a you know, some kind of a pickup device to scrape it off the floor or sweep it off the floor. It'll do it. It's all done automatically now. And airport terminals, all that vacuuming is done by automation now.
Sometimes go over to the Veterans Administration medical facility in the area here, and for years they've had a robot that rolls down the hallway and it has samples or delivering either documents or, you know, samples of things in a locked cabinet down the hallway. And then it announces when it's crossing intersections of hallways. and pauses for a second. And sometimes I saw one time where two of these things were next to each other. One wanted to get through a door, but had to wait for somebody to come over and open the door. So the other one had to stop and wait for that other robot to just wait, you know, to move. So it was kind of comical, but in reality, that's really old school robotics compared to what's going on right now. I wonder about what they call special purpose robots. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I mean, is that the kind of thing when they're talking about what you mentioned about building houses, or is it a situation where you got machines building machines?
Well, I mean, let's take the biggest example that we can all relate to, and that is purchasing online. With Amazon now, purchasing online is knocking out a lot of stores like Staples and Home Depot and Lowe's and some of the clothing stores, shoe stores. I mean, you know, buying online now, it seems to be more prevalent than I've ever seen it before. But when you buy online, you are really getting rid of a lot of local retail stores because they just can't compete with the online business. But using online purchasing is AI. It is artificial intelligence. You're using a computer to place your order. Then it goes through another computer system at the location wherever your item is going to be packaged and shipped. And then it's all done automatically. You know, I mean, even Amazon's talking about using drones to deliver packages. So yes, AI is going to displace certain types of jobs. I wouldn't call them all unskilled. These could be highly skilled jobs, but just because of automation, those jobs are going to be eliminated. You know, I would not call a carpenter an unskilled person. I mean, they're very skilled. So I don't want to refer to everything as unskilled. You know, right now, you know, strawberries are all picked by labor, hand-picked. But they're coming up with equipment now that will hand pick strawberries. I mean, a lot of fruit now is tree fruit is now picked by robotics, and that eliminates then having to have laborers removing that fruit from the vine, as you would. So you know, robotics are here. I mean, you know, we're not necessarily trying to fire people, get rid of people. We're just changing the way we live.
Well, you mentioned the other day, and we'll close this out here shortly, but lastly, you mentioned the other day to me about an example of a massive cattle ranch in Mexico that is entirely automated.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, it's the largest in the world. But everything's done through automation. So there's no reason why we would have that cattle ranch in Mexico, except for the problem of having it here in the U.S. because of this flatulence or whatever. I mean, all this.
The cow gas.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be emitted in Mexico rather than emitted from the U.S. But for some reason or other, the Mexican government is willing to allow those kinds of facilities, whereas our country won't allow you to build that kind of facility here. But it's all automated down there in Mexico. It was not because of cheap labor. It's just because of the greenhouse of, you know,
greenhouse gases.
Yeah. Greenhouse gas issue. Yeah. So again, you know, we're not just doing automation because of getting rid of labor, less expensive labor, but we're doing it because of just, you know, for example, in manufacturing semiconductors, They shut down the manufacturing of semiconductors in the Bay Area, which eliminated thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs because this green pollution issue in the Bay Area. They just didn't want those gases, those toxic gases emitted into the atmosphere. So they just said, you can no longer manufacture, you know, have a fab in Silicon Valley.
Wow. Well, the times are changing.
Yeah, it's not all related to just getting rid of unskilled labor, because certainly manufacturing semiconductors is not unskilled, but you know, they say, we don't want you to, we don't want you to pollute our air here or something. I don't know. And it's just, so then they had to move to Colorado or Texas or wherever, you know, wherever they allow it. So, you know, it's not just displacing unskilled labor.
Well, Ray, for our listeners, please rate this podcast on your favorite platform. And as always, you can reach out to Ray with your questions and your thoughts at toughthingsfirst.com. There you'll find all the social media links, blogs, and links to information about the books, Tough Things First and the Zen of Zen series, 1, 2, and 3. Those are books on entrepreneurship, leadership, management, but also on discipline, determination in life. It's the Zen of Zen series. Thanks again, Ray.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.